Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Relax yourself, ladies and gents. Please settle down. Welcome to the Football Ramble, an absolute cracker at Goodison Park, and Leicester left it late. It's Thursday, 11th of February. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Vidushan Hunter-Raja.
Welcome, one and all, to the Football Ramble. It's the thrilling Thursday you've all been dreaming about. Myself, Andy Brassel, and my cousin Vichy are here for your listening pleasure. How you doing, chaps?
Very well.
Good.
Very well.
Very well indeed. Very well indeed, gentlemen, for seeing such a blisteringly good FA Cup game. Some of the games recently have been a little bit underwhelming, but not old Tottenham Hotspur going away to Everton. Absolute ruddy scenes, Andy Brassel, at the old stadium.
Yeah, and it had to be something, especially on the day before a record of On the Continent, to make me turn over from Rino Gattuso's sad face in Bergamo. I'm glad I did. Not just because I didn't want to see his sad face anymore, but because this was really worth it. But it wasn't just a great game. It was a deeply, deeply confusing game, mm-hmm. I think, right from that bit just before half-time where Everton took control of it. Because that first half, that is the best I've seen Spurs play in months. That they were terrific in that first half. And, you know, even with that Eric Lamela goal just before half-time, you wonder, how on earth are we losing that if you're in the Spurs camp? Because they just had this crazy 5 minutes in a game that they're completely in control of. All of a sudden, they've got to climb a mountain to to get back into it.
Are you reading from Jose Mourinho's script here, Andy? It's very much toeing the party line.
Did you not
it?
Think that, though? It looked like they were, you know, without Harry Kane, they were so, I feel like they had so much energy and they were making some great ones. Yeah. Bergwijn had a great game as well. Probably his best in a while. But yeah, the Tony Evans in The Independent wrote about this and gave it the name the Inferiority Complex Derby. And
well, I fully expect that from Big Tone.
But he...
Notable Liverpool fan.
but like when you watched that game yesterday, it did feel like neither of them were particularly sure of themselves. The idea that Spurs could be in such control and then ship three goals in, what, 7 minutes is absurd, really. Mm. But yeah, I'm kind of with Brassel on this one. I was quite impressed with Spurs, specifically in that first half.
Yeah, it was highest scoring FA Cup game between two top flight sides in 50 years. And no wonder you turned away from Napoli, from one current coach of Napoli to a former coach of Napoli. By the way, Andy, speaking of European football, what a week for you. You've had two wins in the last, 5 days, I think, for your beloved Sevilla. Two wins for your beloved Lyon. And we'll even chuck in a win for AFC Wimbledon. I mean, you're absolutely loving it.
I know, that's the biggie, away at Wigan, wasn't it?
Wigan, of course, one of the few teams, Andy, that have actually surprised everybody and won the FA Cup. People talk about the magic of the Cup. Don't get me wrong. We all believe in the magic of the FA Cup. However, it only sort of pokes its little head out, really, all the way through to the final when you see the winners over the years, of course. But could Carlo Ancelotti's Everton and his cup of soup go all the way to the final, Vish?
I would like to think so. And I'm glad you said cup of soup there, because I thought... People said that was coffee. Even the Everton account tweeted that it was coffee. And maybe they'd know. But I thought that was a bit soupy, the way he was blowing that. Because I think, you know, when you blow soup, you know it's got a thicker consistency than coffee. So you can go a bit harder, can't you? But
you think, because I think what I took from that is that it had come out of a kettle rather than a coffee machine, which probably would make an Italian very anxious at the best of times. Mm. But you've got to deal with a slightly too hot drink as well. Right. I mean, I think probably the reality of it is he's ended up drinking Bovril. But I don't want to think about... I don't want to live in a world in which Carlo Ancelotti is drinking Bovril, quite frankly.
Yeah, whatever he's doing, though, he's a man who's going to keep his cool, though. Old Carlo, although last night was all about keeping warm. But 5-4, though, I mean, what was pleasing about that was that... You had five goals in the first half. Normally, the goals dry up in the second half. You get maybe one, two, if you're very, very lucky. Oh, Vish, they kept on going. They kept on going all the way into extra time.
Yeah. It was... I feel like, you know, after Manchester United and West Ham did what they did on Tuesday, and the less said about that, the better. Everton...
We didn't want that to go all the way into extra time.
No, we didn't, but Everton Spurs felt it their duty to raise the spirits of the nation once more, didn't they? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They did.
Just, I realised I just completely avoided your original question about Everton going all the way. You know, we spoke a bit off mic, didn't we, about Luke's chat about Burnley yesterday and about like treading water and being a club that doesn't really want to go out and achieve things. And Everton are in a weird spot like that because they kind of flitter between pushing for, you know, establishing themselves in the top six. They settle for top eight, and every now and again they get a bit lower and
they've tried
themselves.
They've rolled the dice.
Yeah, and I imagine that's kind of what they have to gun for, really. They're in a great opportunity to do so. Although we say that, you know, you mentioned the magic of the cup, and this is a stage where all the magic dies and just the big Premier League teams go through. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think with Everton and the FA Cup, it was nice to see your friend and mine, Andy, Duncan Ferguson, very, very happy at full time. And I mean, he was very honest when they said, what a game. And he went, yeah, it was great because we won it. You don't want to be on the losing end of one of those ones. But he said, you know, about Everton and not having won the cup or a trophy, excuse me, for, would it be 25, 26 years? Obviously, they've been in the final since then, but they haven't won it, of course. And he said about the league and the cup, and he went, oh, the FA Cup's the one we want. And I thought, well, yeah, I mean, that seems more realistic than the league, although I'm not going to disagree with Duncan Ferguson. But it is true, Andy, that for Carlo Ancelotti to be able to, if he can deliver a trophy at Everton in the form of the FA Cup. That would be what a great success there.
Yeah, it would be a stepping stone to something else, though.
Yeah,
I think, because that is what modern football is.
But they haven't gone on that, unfortunately. As Vish was sort of saying, that they haven't made that step for a while, and they've tried. They've had big signings. They've had big managerial appointments.
But that's the problem. That's what Carlo Ancelotti is picking up the slack of. He's picking up the slack of a series of teams under coaches who have reinforced at great cost, but not great effect. So I think his big success so far is receiving a quite unbalanced squad and moulding it into something that's got an identity. And I think you could see that last night. I mean, if you said on paper going into that game, say if you pinpointed this at the start of the season and say Everton end up winning a game against Tottenham in which they score 5 goals, despite the fact 2/3 of their fancy new midfield are injured and can't make it. And, you know, the two main elements with no harm to Doucouré and James and Alan, you'd say that's really, really impressive. And I think what he did in the back half of last season in getting a lot out of a squad that people didn't really believe in, I think was very, very impressive indeed. I think he's doing an absolutely terrific job. And I know everything comes with caveats at the moment and you can't draw conclusions because the Premier League in particular is so up and down. But I think it's a real testament to Ancelotti in someone like him who's won so much, who has nothing to prove, is someone who's still open to change.
He's got the hunger.
He's still
got the desire, Andy.
Well, yeah. I mean, coaches always say that, though, don't they? But they're always, and Mourinho's a great example, they're saying, well, this has worked for me in the past, so I'm going to go back to doing it exactly the same way. Whereas I think Ancelotti in his last couple of jobs has said, actually, I've made some mistakes. Maybe I should evolve. Maybe I should embrace some new ideas. That is so unusual for a coach of his age at his stage in his career.
It is. But we do enjoy the greatest hits, though, Andy. Let's not forget that. And he is a cup manager. He bloody well loves a cup. Ancelotti said that there are multiple similarities between him and Jose Mourinho. He said, I think we are really close with our idea of football. How I see his team play can be comparable to us. I don't know if it is a new style of football. It isn't. But for me, to be compared to his style of football is an honour. There was a bit of a loving between him and Mourinho after the final whistle, Fish. There was a nice hug. And even Mourinho said about Ancelotti, he went, no, he's a great guy.
Yeah, Mourinho says this about a lot of people, doesn't he? I know we ham up the occasions when he really goes after someone, but he does seem to have a lot of love for a few managers. Even, you know, he even warmed to Wenger by the end of it. Once Wenger was out of the picture, thanks to his own...
I was about to say, when he's got the better of him.
Like Ancelotti, I've always seen him as quite a lovable guy. And maybe part of that is the fact that he's always so cheery. But you look at the stuff he's done with the community as well at quite a difficult time. He seems to really, really embrace it and really engage it. Because I was going to ask you guys, you two will know a lot more about this than I will, but it seemed like he was, loved at Napoli, which is a place where it can go one or two ways. I remember, Lovetti talking about what it was like being at Napoli, and he was like, oh, it was great. It's the most beautiful part of the world, great place to play football. Never been outside, though. Never been outside my flat or the stadium because you never know how things are gonna go with your performance or whatever. So, but yeah, it seems to...
Oh, he was smuggled in the boots of Carl's when he wanted to go shopping and all this kind of stuff because it was just such a fanfare there.
But you know what lured out Ancelotti in Napoli? It was the food.
Great man.
It was that simple. Even if he wanted to keep himself to himself, he was never staying indoors with all that food outside.
Well, the food in Naples is enough to raise an eyebrow for anybody, Andy. I think we could agree. While we're on the subject of Everton, sad news that former Everton and Wales goalkeeper Di Davis died age 72 yesterday. 82 caps, or, not caps, sorry, appearances for Everton, rather. He was at one point he was Wales' most capped goalkeeper, so sad news there. Speaking of former Evertonians, there's been an interview with Daniel Amakachi that has caught the attention of us at Ramble HQ here, and it's been 26 years since they won the FA Cup. And of course, in the semi-final, they beat a very fancied Tottenham Hotspur, which included Jurgen Klinsmann, among others. They beat them 4-1 in the semi-final. And at the semi-final, saw Daniel Amakachi, and I didn't realise this. I knew he came on and changed the game and scored two goals. I didn't realise he subbed himself on in that game. I remember this quite vividly, them beating Tottenham Hotspur, as I say. But in an interview recently, he said that Paul Rideout, who would score the winning goal in the final, went down injured. And Joe Royal wanted to know if he should sub on a replacement. Apparently, Amakachi told Jimmy Gabriel that Royal said, "Oh yeah, he's gonna put me on. Here's the piece of paper." So Jimmy Gabriel, who's the guy who was sorting out the subs for Everton, goes up to the fourth official who puts the board up, and Daniel Amakachi runs on the pitch, and Joe Royal's going, "Hang on, what's going on?" And he's already run on. It's absolutely fantastic.
You know, he would have planned that as well. You know, he would have seen, right, this is how it works. He goes to him, he goes to Jimmy, says his piece, then he moves away, and Jimmy tells the fourth official. So that's what I need to pounce.
It's amazing. And bloody hell, Andy, just as well that he came on and scored two goals. Although Amakachi, though, he did fancy himself, quite literally, because in that article he said, "I was in the best shape of my life, a damn sexy footballer, and I knew I was ready." Bloody right, Daniel. Bloody right you were.
It's funny because I imagine, like, the thing that Joe Royal said afterwards, where he said, "Well played, but if you try that shit again, you'll be finished." The person who sorts out the subs with the fourth official now is Duncan Ferguson.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're not trying that on him,
no,
are you?
No, certainly not. Certainly not. I had no idea. This is absolutely sensational. And it was quite nice as well because Amakachi said that he grew up in very humble surroundings in Nigeria. And he said that whenever the FA Cup was on, specifically the final, you would find a television anywhere in the neighbourhood and everyone would gather around and watch it. And when you hear that, and then, of course, he goes on and plays in the final and came on as a substitute, as did Duncan Ferguson. Those two would be a handful to defend against bloody hellfire. He comes on, he wins it, of course. It's quite wonderful. He did speak about his friendship with Duncan Ferguson, and he said Duncan was crazy. Well, that's no sort of new revelation. On the bus before games, he would play the film Braveheart and no one was allowed to turn it off. It's absolutely... Oh dear, they'll never take our 3 points. He also said, this is quite magnificent, "I was getting married in Tunisia, and as I was making my way to the altar, a guy pushed a piece of paper into my hand. I opened it up and it said, 'Big Dunk is in the house.' He'd come all that way to surprise me. It was fantastic. He made my day." That is kind of like wonderful and terrifying in equal measure.
Does that happen wherever Duncan Ferguson goes? Is it like someone hands him a piece of paper that says "Big Dunk is in the house"? You know, in the way that in films, whenever, you know, the president's involved, they always say the eagle has landed, and so like every president has like their own nickname. So I think Biden's is the Celtic, and Trump's was the mogul. Yeah, but yeah, that is brilliant.
What I like about that, though, is do you think that's the same message? You remember there was that spate that of burglaries that he had, and he would pin the burglars down and wait until the police turned up. Like, obviously, like, it's quite horrifying that he was, you know, getting burgled and all that, but yet he seemed to be the kind of the solution to his own burglary problem. Do you think that's what the burglars are creeping
suggesting?
Around and suddenly he puts the piece of paper in the burglar's hand? Big Dunk to the house. Oh, no.
I also reckon with that, he left his front door open. Front door and back door, windows slightly ajar, lights off.
Yeah, come on in.
Either that or his wife might have like woken him up and pressed a piece of paper into his hand saying, "Big Dunk, comma, there is someone in the house."
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Vish, regarding former Evertonians, I believe you've got an announcement.
I do. Over on Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy, you can hear an exclusive interview with former Everton centre-back Julian Lescott. He gives a masterclass in the art of defending, discusses who he thinks the best defender the Premier League has ever seen is, and why the analysis of defending needs refining. So you can listen to that now. Just search Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy in any of your podcast apps.
Leicester City are through, Andy, as well. They beat Brighton 1-0. They did the good thing, Leicester City. They didn't give us extra time on this. Kelechi Iheanacho said after his 94th minute winner, "I couldn't be bothered with extra time. It's freezing." And obviously our very own Jules Breach, she was there and she was freezing as well. And she was unhappy that Brighton have gone out. But I think she was rather relieved as well to not have another half an hour of the freezing cold temperatures in Leicestershire.
Yeah, and it was pretty rotten football as well. I mean, I think going into this week, I love the idea of FA Cup games being squeezed into midweek and on a normal sort of season plan. But because of where they are, because of the intensity of the calendar, I think this game is exactly what we feared all the FA Cup games would be like coming into this week. And fortunately, they weren't, with Everton versus Southampton. Now, I know this probably isn't the time to talk about a stacked calendar, but I've thought for a long time, certainly pre-pandemic, that the best way of re-livening up the FA Cup is they have this kind of crazy January in Spain where every midweek they play a round of the cup. And I think that adds a certain intensity to it, and that would be really good. But just, you know, there is no time to have, no good time to have extra matches, which is what FA Cup games are at the moment. And as you were saying earlier, Marcus, it's only really after the quarter final that, you know, people really start to focus on it.
Well, we're nearly there, of course, Fish. Some teams are through at the quarterfinals. When asked who we'd like in the next round, Kelechi said, hopefully an easy team so we could go all the way and win it. Bit of honesty there. That's what we like to see.
I love the honesty. Doesn't like the cold, wants an easy ride.
I would have pushed him on that.
I identify with him.
I would have said, name that easy team, because then he would have been disrespectful, wouldn't he? That's the headline. That's what you want. Because I mean, off the top of my head, I assume, you know, Bournemouth would obviously be a championship side there through, so he'd maybe fancy that. Although with Henry James Redknapp and Jonathan Woodgate there, maybe you wouldn't want to play them.
You could get a footballer in a spin, couldn't you? So, oh, I just want an easy team so we can get it right. So who would you pick? Well, that's the thing. At this stage, Jeff, there are no easy teams.
Yeah. You go around. Well, what were you expecting? Well, probably a game of two halves and then one team will win it, unless it goes to extra time.
We're just happy to get the three. Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
None of that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What were our opinions on the state of that Brighton defending for the
world?
I counted there were eight men in the box, but eight Brighton players, and they were totally fixed to where they needed to be. So even though the corner was taken early, they weren't necessarily caught off guard.
It was almost like that, you know, that we know now that slightly misleading photograph of Maradona against Belgium.
Yes.
I think that's actually, if you'd have snapped that in the right way, that would have been more of an accurate portrayal. That would have been, no, that's what happened.
I reckon you could take a photo from the opposite side to where the corner was taken into the box, and because of the players in the way and how they were positioned, you wouldn't see Iheanacho in the photo.
Yeah.
Just the caption of, Leicester City scored from this corner despite seemingly having no one in the box.
Yeah. Like the Brighton defenders, you couldn't see Kelechi Iheanacho from this.
I think they were very much hoping to go home. I think it's definitely something in players' minds when you get into the last couple of minutes of a cup game at the moment, especially a midweek cup game. I think the players are definitely thinking, like, I can't stomach extra time.
Yeah.
Shit or bust, let's go for it.
Yeah.
And I think that's totally reasonable in the circumstances.
Did you say shit or bust?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is a phrase, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've certainly heard it before. Maybe I just heard it from Andy.
Oh, right. I was about to say. Or it's a very strange game show, which I'm unaware of. What was
Darren Cann on it?
Oh, Mr. Cann running the line, fresh from winning the jackpot on yesterday's episode of Pointless.
Didn't he win the World Cup before as well? I mean, that's certainly what the commentators on ITV said.
That was Bobby Moore, I think. But yeah, I think
your mind's playing tricks on you.
Well, his surname is Cann. He's a can-do man, Andy. It's that can-do attitude that will win you the jackpot and make correct calls on the lines, Vish. But yeah, that was quite... I think some people were, you know, unaware that Pointless is pre-recorded. All at the same day.
Except,
people said that sarcastically as well.
Except when it's done in a porter cabin in the car park in the King Power.
That's true. That's very true.
Is Pointless any good? I've never watched it.
No, it's not bad.
Same.
It's not bad. It's okay. Notable Fulham fan on there.
The tall guy who did that. He's on Twitter, isn't he? He did the Biscuit Olympics or some shit like that.
He's on Twitter.
He's like, what's your favourite biscuit? And yeah, that's it.
What's his name? Richard Osman, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he is on Twitter as well, yes. Yeah. the big guy on Twitter. My goodness, what a description. Right, ladies and gentlemen, that was some FA Cup stuff. We'll have more FA Cup chat after this break.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Stakhanov's award-winning football mockumentary, The Offensive, is available to listen to now. After securing Premier League survival last season, Ashwood City have a new boss.
The new manager, Sven-Goran Eriksson.
I am delighted to be the new head coach at Ashwood City Football Club.
But unfortunately, the same old chief executive.
Oh, fuckity. Fuckity fuck fuck. Stupid comments from an ex-player chanting make Ashwood great again. Big fucking deal. You know, if he thinks that any of those empty words have had even the slightest impact on Patrick Nolan, MBE, then he is dreaming. Stupid big idiot twat fucking wank wank bollock face.
Follow Ashwood City on and off the pitch every Premier League match week.
I can't even get easy peelers in my local M&S at the moment, Sven, let alone a fullback from Real Sociedad.
I just have a list of players I'd like to bring into your squad.
Okay, well, let me know when you have a list of players you'd like to bring out of the squad.
Described by The Guardian as a must-listen for football fans.
We lied about the corona test result. We isolated our two informed players to stop them playing for England, and now we've asked Man City Football Club to bribe the Premier League on our behalf.
I didn't actually ask them to. I asked if they wanted to.
It's the same fucking thing.
Search The Offensive on your favourite podcast player and listen now.
Well, I'm talking about the sort of luxuriant quality.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for emails.
Just email the show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Victor, Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Right, I believe Vish has the first email to read. Over to you, Vitushan.
I do. We've got one from the Wicker Man himself, Callum Wicker from Hong Kong. Confusion around the origins of McSauce really made me question myself. Without reading anything to confirm this, I honestly thought Scott McTominay was called McSauce because Tominay sounds like Tommy K. Tommy K being slang for tomato ketchup. Tommy K, sauce, even if it isn't, that's what I'm choosing to believe. Anyway, keep up the good work. Happy Chinese New Year. Happy Chinese New Year to you too, Callum.
Hung Fat yes. Choi, if I could pronounce that correctly. I like that. That's what I'm choosing to believe.
Yeah. I've got a few messages on Twitter about that yesterday, and I think that's a lot more plausible than mine. But I'd only really seen it used ironically, and that's not to say that that came first, but yeah, I saw it as a, it was always a stick to beat the wee squirt with.
Aye, the wee saucy bastard. Now, on Tuesday's pod, I spoke about a time when a footballer who I couldn't remember, I suggested it was Roger Johnson, it wasn't, but had a drink during a pre-season match in the United States. And at PDXOR on Twitter, tweeted me just saying, Stephen Thompson for Burnley against Portland Timbers. And I was like, that's right. And I said, well remembered. And he said, well, it was easy to remember. It was the first thing I ever got in touch with the Ramble about that got a mention on the show, which is quite fantastic. Now, the story is from 2009. So obviously a little while ago now. I'm not sure when we covered it on the Ramble. I think it might have been a year or two later. Either or, the story is a lovely one. And Stephen Thompson himself said of that match, he said, I kind of fell over the billboards at the side of the pitch and there was a cafe right on the side. I landed on this person's table and I don't know what happened. I just instinctively grabbed the guy's pint and had a drink. Ever so the professional. I just don't know what happened there, Vish, you know?
It sounds like an excuse, a really bad excuse that someone has when they go into A&E with something stuck up their arse, isn't it? Oh, they fell over and picked it and then just necked it. I don't know what happened. Yeah.
And this children's toy. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, you know, a copper walking into a pub to like arrest the landlord for something. Well, there was a pint on the table and I just suddenly got involved. You know, it's like, no, that's a... It's absolutely ridiculous. And Thompson went on to say, it shows you how bad a game it was because that got the biggest cheer of the night. It was a bit of light-hearted
banter.
You
were playing in that game as well. Why are you doing to yourself, man?
It's a pre-season friendly. What a load of shit. I lined it up by having a drink, for crying out loud. My goodness, let's never do this again. He said it was a bit of light-hearted banter. The guy was really decent about it.
Who, the one whose pint he stole was really decent
about it. Exactly, yeah. He was laughing, apparently. He's laughing. I was fined a week's wages, though, for being the first player the manager had ever seen drinking during a match. You know, you see.
That doesn't strike me as very remorseful from old Stevie Thompson there, does it?
Well, I mean, he got his fight. He took the punishment, Andy. Why not bask in the glory of downing someone else's pint during a football match?
Normally, that sort of tomfoolery in a pre-season game happens because you're either drunk, mm-hmm. still drunk, or hungover. Yeah. I mean, Vish will be able to straighten this for me. I'm pretty sure there was a time in the early 90s when Ian Botham was still playing for England and they were on a tour of New Zealand and he walked out to the middle without his bat because he was still a bit tipsy, basically. And, you know, the 12th man sort of ran out after him with the bat.
You're going to pick up one of the stumps? I'll just use this.
He got all the way to the middle without his bat.
Yeah, I think he got chased down. I don't know if he got all the way to the middle, but yeah, no, that is definitely something that happened. I'm not entirely sure if it was New Zealand, but yeah, that's very, very both of them.
That's the thing. The opposition are going, this is mind games. What's going on here? No, nothing to do with that. Well, Andy, you said that that kind of tomfoolery, of course, that will be forever known now as Thompson foolery.
Yes.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. The email address is show@footballramble.com, or you can tweet me or some of the others if you've got something worthwhile, like our good man PDXOR did. Right, gentlemen, back to the soccer ball. Swansea were beaten 1-3 by Manchester City. Not too surprising, really. I suppose the only surprising thing is Man City conceded, really. But City set the record for successive domestic wins with 15, beating the record set by Preston North End in the 1891-92 season. Yes, 1891-92 and the 1987-88 Arsenal side. I'll tell you what, Vish, they're on for League and Cup double, aren't they?
I think they are, yeah. They're just quite monstrous. And it's... I think...
They're going to beat Everton in the final, let's be honest. That's what's going to happen.
But I think the way they're going about it, I think the country should be wary about this because they're looking devastating. And I don't know if it's healthy for everyone else.
Hang on, when you say the country...
The whole country should be worried about this.
Some sort of military intervention.
Yes.
Is that what we...
bring in the army, that's what I say.
Right, okay.
Once they're done teaching all the school kids... Yeah. Get them to fight Man City because they look utterly unstoppable. Like they weren't even trying yesterday, and they thought, "Well, let's just piss about for a bit, and we'll just oh, we conceded, but what are you going to do? That's a little takeaway for Morgan Whitaker. That'd be nice for him. Yeah. But no, they're I think they might clean up, given them where they were a couple of months ago. I think I said on the show before that if you look at their progression in the league, it should be accompanied by the Jaws music, because it's that there's such that inevitability about it.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, they're out in front now. That negates the Jaws music. The Jaws music was he's behind you kind of thing.
Well, no one ever saw what happened when, like, if Jaws had won. Because if he'd won, I reckon he'd have a lovely old time. And, you know, all his mini Jawses and like, get his mates around and stuff.
To be fair, I think, yeah, they should do a prequel to Jaws when Jaws, like, has his way.
Yeah.
Kind of just gets it. But if Jaws is swimming away and everyone else is trying to catch Jaws, then you don't have the Jaws music. Jaws is not going, oh, bloody hell, look at these people trying to hunt me down.
See, I'm not that familiar with the Jaws series, but I'm presuming...
You know the basics, though, Andy. Don't go in the water.
Yeah, but presumably...
That's not the lesson from Jaws, is it? The lesson from Jaws is don't fuck with sharks, surely.
Yeah, but presumably, number two is like at the equivalent to The Empire Strikes Back, where he just eats everyone and he's like doing a massive thumbs up at the end or whatever the shark equivalent
and
is.
And he turns out to be that nutty guy's dad. I love the fact, Vish, that you took a lesson from Jaws.
Yeah, just like don't mess with sharks. That shouldn't be don't be get in the water. Just like coexist together. That's what I saw from Jaws. And you can always do with a bigger boat. That's two things.
Well, there's hang on. Are you suggesting that Jaws was just getting on with his business, happy as Larry, and then other people started slagging him off, and he's like, right, I'm not having that kind of language down here.
I'm just saying, if you're going to kick like that in the ocean, you're going to get some attention, and you're going to get nibbled at. By a shark.
Hence, don't go in the water. Then
no, don't go in the water. Just don't be so appealing in the water. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Are you suggesting that their swimming outfits were too skimpy? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, not at all. But I'm just, you know, sharks, all I'm saying is shark's going to shark.
Yeah, okay. All right, fair enough. Well, back to the football. It was Guardiola's 200th win at Manchester City. Which is absolutely incredible. And in the same time when he gets his 200th win, a stat that I forgot to mention earlier, Tottenham Hotspur and Everton, that was only the third time that Jose Mourinho's side had conceded 5 goals or more in his career. Of course, one of the sides that beat Jose Mourinho by 5 was Pep Guardiola's Barcelona, which is a match I'll forever be remembered for Andy Brassel's tortilla. When we went round to watch the game, which was quite delightful, but I mean, I say cut league and cup double, Andy, is the bloody quadruple on, because Champions League is back soon.
Yeah, and as stands, I suppose they've got a little bit of an advantage in the Borussia Mönchengladbach don't have a home leg anymore, seeing as the first leg's been switched to Budapest for this really weird unscheduled festival of football in Hungary, but. You know what? I think, personally, that you look at the way City fans look at the Champions League, and a lot of them, especially match-going City fans, are pretty nonplussed by it. The fact that they've had so much misery in it, capped by the Lyon quarterfinal last year.
Mm-hmm. Always worth a mention,
Perhaps. I think it would cause Manchester City, not necessarily Pep Guardiola, but Manchester City a lot less pain. Why don't they just fuck off the Champions League? Why don't they put the resis out when they play Borussia Mönchengladbach, win the League and Cup double, and I think it'll make them happier.
Do you think?
Yeah, I do.
Are you Sean Dyche in disguise?
If only.
If you were, then Luke Moore would be knocking down your door.
Do you not think they've got a great chance for the Champions League, though, Andy? Especially the way they're playing now and the way that other teams...
Based on what? Every single year, the bookies have Manchester City as the Champions League favourites off the back of one semi-final.
Not every year they have the favourites. Surely Bayern were favourites the other year, and Real Madrid and Barcelona have been favourites.
The other thing you've got to remember, Andy, is that they're an English club, English football, English way. Got to be favourites. Got to back us in Europe, haven't you?
Exactly, Andy. I think you've got to toe the party line for a change, for crying out loud. But I think, but I know what you mean when Pep Guardiola, he just has a bit of a brain freeze, doesn't he, whenever there's a quarter or semi in the Champions League. And he then starts to out-tactic it himself. But has he learned? Has he got a different cunning plan this time?
Well, I'll tell you what, he's had since 2011 when he last won the Champions League to think of one. So,
is that a dig?
Well, there's no need to make a dig because that's a simple fact, isn't it? Okay. I mean, all I'm saying is it just does my head in that year after year after year, Manchester City are simply on the talent they have on their squad, not on any Champions League evidence, the favourites for it. We all enjoy watching them, unless we're, I guess, Manchester United fans. But that doesn't mean necessarily that they should be our favourites for the Champions League. I guess you could say, look at the relative weakness of Barcelona, Real Madrid at the moment. But,
all right,
you know,
who's your favourite? Who's your money on then, tough guy?
You know what? I think you have to look at a team that's having a tough old time and thinking they can pull it out of the bag. Let's say Juventus.
If Andrea Pirlo's Juventus win the Champions League, my goodness, what a story that would be. But I don't know, Andy. I don't bloody know. It'd be very, very interesting indeed to see.
It's hard to look
there.
Past Man City, isn't it, with their squad?
Yeah, I was going to say, I still fancy Man City over that. But Andy, if you're proved to be right, then my goodness, I want you to put another stag up on your wall. Yaya Toure has taken his first official coaching role in the world of football. We had a little stint at QPR and Blackburn, but FC Olympique Donetsk is where he's at. He started his football career in that city for a different side, of course, but he's in there. And he said, to be honest, even my agent was surprised when he found out that I wanted to learn to coach in Ukraine, but it was a firm decision. It was my firm decision, he said. Andy, that's nice to see, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think he'll probably do pretty well there. I mean, one of the things that he made a real success of when he was in Ukraine first time is he learned to speak Russian.
Yeah.
So from the off, he's going to adapt, I think. I get the impression a player like him, and I know you can never judge a coach on the player they were, but something that Yaya Toure never gets credit for, and he should get credit for, he's one of the most tactically astute footballers that I can think of off the top of my head of recent times. Someone who's capable in a variety of positions, who can direct a team on the pitch. I think he'll do really well.
Yeah, lovely old job. Just to finish the FA Cup chat, of course, Sheffield United are through. They beat Bristol City 1-0. Wasn't much to talk about other than a crazy goalmouth scramble, which eventually ended up with a handball and Billy Sharp scoring the penalty. But Vish, I wanted to just have a little mention for Bristol City's kit. Purple shirt, green shorts, white socks. What a combo. And the goalkeeper kit, it was Georgie Campos-esque.
You know, you've got sometimes when you're invited to a do that you think, right, I'm not going to get another invite back here. I need to stunt. I need to act up a bit. And I think that's exactly what Bristol City did. They thought, Premier League opposition here, you know, this round of the FA Cup, why not? Why not just go all out? Why not just flare it up? I did notice that the Man City Swansea kit matchup was white versus black, which had a very kind of Mighty Ducks feel to it. You know. But this was just a lot of fun. Let them have fun, yeah.
Well, the Blades are into the hat for the quarterfinals, which of course will be drawn later as we have more FA Cup this week, gentlemen. Enough of that chat. Let's go straight to France. Ramon, I can't get it out. I'm just so stunned, excited, disappointed, not surprised. All sorts of emotions, Andy. Raymond Domenech is out the door. Barely had he walked through. It's like one of those revolving doors. He sort of walked in, he did a little loop,
Grandpa
and then walked
Simpson's
out again.
Gift.
He's been sacked. Yeah, exactly. That's the one. Oh, poor old Domenech, Andy. He's been sacked already.
46 days, 7 games, no wins. Yeah. Still no one can work out why he was appointed in the first place. And he was absent from the benches. They lost in the cup yesterday to Lens. And it was quite amusing in the press conference afterwards when they asked Patrick Collor, who was the caretaker before Dominic came in and is going to be the caretaker for, I guess, about the next 10 minutes before Antoine Kombouare gets the job. He was asked about it, and he said, I've no idea what's going on with Dominic. Like, not Raymond. Firstly, I've no idea what's going on with Dominic. And secondly, it was about two steps away from, I've never heard of him. I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh.
Dom. But, I mean, I don't know what they thought was going to happen. If you appoint someone who hasn't been a coach for 10 years, who hasn't coached in club football mm-hmm. since 1993, it's like, well, I think he's taken us backwards tactically.
Mm. Vish, why does everybody hate Raymond?
I don't know. What a terrible show that was, by the way.
yeah.
Is Dominic there, you know, the French equivalent of, say, like, a Redknapp or an Allardyce, where there is a certain part of French football, you know, punditry or commentariat, who still regard him as the person he was 10, 20 years ago?
No, but you see, I have to jump in there, because Andy said he hasn't managed a club side since 1993. Redknapp and Allardyce have had loads
of work. Sure, you know what I mean? Where, like, seemingly for a certain portion of that society, I suppose, that he's still the person they remember rather than the person he is now. Is he always going to be able to kind of tap into that?
Well, the thing is, the way people remember him is not especially flattering. So,
yeah,
I do wonder what was happening with Valdemar Keita, the president of Nantes, who's under a lot of pressure. A lot of fans of the club want him out anyway. And apparently took Laurent Blanc for a round of golf to try and talk him into the job pre-Dominic. And as he put it, we had a lovely chat. And then he said he wasn't up for it. So presumably they were like on hole seven. and then Laurent Blanc said, look, mate, I'm just having a round of golf. I ain't taking your job, okay? Let's just carry on for the next 11 holes in complete silence.
And then he kissed Fabian Barthez on the head.
Exactly.
Yeah. Probably did that before the game, give him a bit of good luck. Well, shame for Ramon. He's off, and hopefully it won't be another 10 years until we see him managing again, Andy, because he does give us a little bit of joy.
Doesn't he just?
Doesn't he just, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, for more European football chat, Andy will be joined by Dotton Adebayo and Nicky Bandini for another episode of On the Continent, available today over on Football Ramble Presents. I thoroughly recommend. Gentlemen, we've reached the end of the show. Where do you go after talking about Dominic? Well, you have to finish, quite frankly, because that was the climax we were all hoping for. Thank you very much for listening. On tomorrow's show, I shall be returning with Jim and Luke. Vish, have you got anything else to say for yourself?
No, just lovely to see both your faces. Feels like it's been a while.
Okay. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to
Twat
Ramble. Yeah, it's not the first time you slagged me off on the ramble this week. Say it to my face.
When did I slag you off on the ramble?
I think you called me a mug.
Oh, it's because you lost your own game, didn't you? Imagine that. Imagine losing your own Bressel game.
My game is literally called Luke's game.
It's made to suit you, isn't it?
Suit you. It's not made for sore losers, though. That's something we do know. There we are. Thank you very much for Tuatha Hantaraja. Thank you very much, Andy Brathel.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you tomorrow.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
and Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman, I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.